Why would I make them so uncomfortable?
It probably has to do with your reputation. They feel your methods, your theories are...
spooky? Do you think I'm spooky?
His face was so blank and expressionless. He didn't even seem human.
I'm not turning my back on anyone!
Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
Mulder, you have to understand!
Put it down!
You put it down first!
Scully!
Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Welcome.
Yeah, I am one of your hosts, David Bell.
I'm the other host, Tom Ryman.
Yeah, how you doing, Tom?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good.
That's good.
I'm doing pretty good living in this house that Fox Mulder has built.
Yes.
Using nothing but matchsticks and gumption and his own madness.
Mm-hmm. We've built an empire.
If you're just joining us, this is a normally a Patreon exclusive show that we do. We're releasing this episode for everyone to enjoy for free.
Free episode.
But the basic premise is Dave and I are doing a total rewatching of the X-Files every episode, probably, with a critical eye for just how crazy Mulder is in each one.
That's correct. He's very crazy.
He is. It is. Let me tell you, revisiting this series with that particular lens makes it an entirely different show.
Yes. Yes.
It has really become a broad comedy.
Yes. I mean, I've always loved this show. It was the first show I fell in love with. But yeah, rewatching it, specifically thinking about Mulder as a human being that would exist in the real world, it's very disturbing. It's eye-opening.
It's pretty goddamn delightful, I'm not going to lie.
And so, if you're just joining us, we're on Season 1, Episode 12. If that number doesn't ring a bell for you, that is the episode Fire, which is one of the more known X-Files episodes, I would say.
I think so. It's definitely one of the ones I super remembered from first watching the series when it was on. It's about the guy who is a pyrokinetic guy, Firestarter, the twisted Firestarter.
Yes, it is Cecil Lively, which is one of the, I would say he's a villain, at least in my mind. He was up there with Fluke Man, he was up there with Tombs. This is a classic Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah.
Man who can conjure fire.
Yeah, and he's just a creep.
Yes,
he's just a full-on creep.
I was noticing in this episode, he just randomly tries to encourage children to smoke.
Yeah,
and it was like, come on, Cecil, you're already bad enough. Why are you even doing that?
Why do we need even more badness?
Yeah. I guess we can start with our first section, which is simply talking about the X-Files itself, which is... Mulder is approached by an old flame, a Scotland Yard inspector.
I
didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, you walked right into that one, buddy.
Jesus. I'm a little slow today. I accidentally got high earlier.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
I won't go too much into this. I tried a vaporizer that I thought was just CBD. Turns out it wasn't. And that has been a problem for my day. it's pretty much worn off at this point, though.
Okay, sure.
But, Phoebe Green, Scotland Yard Inspector Phoebe Green, who is very British, and she shows up, and she brings Mulder this case, and she sort of mind fucks him a little bit, because we learn that Mulder is afraid of fire. Mm-hmm. And so this is Mulder overcoming his fears while dealing with an ex.
Is it? Overcome his fears?
We'll get to that. I guess we can get to it right now. Because basically it ends with Mulder saving children from a burning house.
Yeah.
And Cecil getting lit up in flames for some reason.
He sets himself on fire.
Yeah, this was one of the cliffhanger episodes. Not cliffhanger, but like a like the Tombs episode where they kind of hint that there could be a later
Like this guy could come back.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah. But he never does.
He never does. And that's a shame. I would have liked to see a sequel.
More of this guy.
Yeah, because it's Mulder's greatest fear.
Mulder's greatest fear. Yeah, I don't remember this ever coming back.
Not really. In fact, I'm willing to bet there are episodes later where he has totally no trouble afraid. With fire.
He's totally not afraid of fire at all.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. This is the first season character development where they probably abandoned it later.
That is for sure accurate.
Yeah. So, I guess, do you want to go into the second section of this podcast?
I wanted to say something, because I don't know where else this goes, so okay. I guess while we're just in describing the episode, the house where most of this action takes place, it's this British family that is hiding out in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, because they were almost killed by this arsonist, so they're like hiding out, and they don't know that the arsonist, Cecil Lively, is pretending to be the caretaker of that house.
Right. For the record, do they go to Boston for the hotel part?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. I was going to say Cape Cod didn't have no fancy hotels like that, but yeah, I guess Boston does.
Yeah, they say they go to Boston.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this house that most of the episode takes place in, at least the interior, gets used in a few episodes, I'm pretty sure.
I could see that. The exterior is pretty unique looking, but...
Right. The interior looks a lot like the house from a later episode called Kalusari.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's the same
that's
one.
That's the little boy, right?
A little boy possessed by his dead twin.
Right. Good times. We'll get to that.
Pretty gnarly episode. We'll get to that one.
It starts with the murder of a child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that being pretty shocking.
It's a full-on Pet Cemeteries, that kid, in the cold open.
Yeah. Hell of a thing.
Yeah. All right, anyway. We'll explore that later.
Yes. All right, let's move on to World's Luckiest Detective. This is the section where we just talk about how lucky Mulder is to crack the case, because we were noticing a disturbing pattern is that Mulder isn't that great of a detective. He's more of a lunatic with a gun.
In some episodes he's downright bad.
Yes.
He's a bad detective.
Kind of like this episode, because Mulder doesn't do much.
Everyone in this episode, except for Scully, is a terrible detective.
Yes. Scully, it begins with... Mulder is basically obsessed with this ex, and Scully is immediately exasperated because she knows it's going to be a whole fucking thing.
Right. It's going to be some bullshit that she has to deal with.
Yeah, and Mulder, being self-aware enough, is like, you're off the hook for this one, Scully, because he knows it's some bullshit, too.
Right. But Scully knows that she can't be off the hook because she knows Mulder's not going to get anything done.
Exactly.
He's just going to be moon calfing around this lady.
Yeah, so they...
So
they,
she goes ahead, like, in her free time, solves this case.
She really does. The only detective work Mulder and now Phoebe, who he kind of partners with in this, do, is they talk to that arson specialist at the beginning, who clearly wants to fuck fire. Like, he wants to light his dick on fire.
He is so bonerized by fire. Fire makes him rock hard.
Yes. They talk to him once, but then Scully is the person who actually follows up.
Yeah.
And finds out that, like, oh, yeah, the fuel. Because, by the way, Cecil Lively, he has a very dumb power, which is that it's not that he can conjure fire. It's that he can conjure, like, sparks. Like,
he can ignite things.
Yeah, which is... that's still cool. I mean, I can't do that, but he has to paint everything with an accelerant. And so Scully figures out that it would be like a hand cream or a lotion. She figures that out. She goes into the immigration data to figure out, like, if there was anybody British who
she goes to see if there was any
immigrated.
Yeah, she first checks to see if there was any common names between the previous arson victims among their household staff, and she finds one that's common, and it's a guy. It's like a fake name. It's a guy that's been dead for like 20 years. And then she finds that name slightly changed, like with an apostrophe in Lively.
Yes.
Recently given a visa to come in Boston.
That's it. Yeah. And she finds that out. She's the one who gets the police sketch at the end, which we should get to, because the whole episode, they wouldn't catch him if Cecil, as you noted in our notes, didn't randomly set a bar on fire for no reason.
Yeah, he goes into town in the middle. Like, Cecil's MO is that he obsesses over the wives of these British lords.
Right.
And then just burns their husbands to death because he's obsessed with their wives. So, like, he's, like, just like, creeping around the house, leering at this lady. And then he just strolls off in the town to a bar and starts kind of hitting on this lady. And then just sets the bar on fire for no fucking reason.
It's like, a cool scene.
It's a cool scene, but it's madness. It's like he's trying... He's laying low, like he's undercover. He's pretending to be the caretaker of this house because he murdered the actual caretaker.
And he's been doing this for a while. Like, he must know how to do this.
Right. He knows how to, like, keep a low. Like, he's traveling using an assumed name, for God's sake. Like, he knows that he has to lay low. But he just, like, the second day they're in town, he just strolls into the bar and burns it to the ground.
Yeah, and had he
for like no reason.
Yeah, and had he didn't do that, they wouldn't have had much of a lead. Like they then talk to a woman at the bar, and she gives a police sketch description, and then that's later what comes back, and Scully gets it.
Yeah,
And so Scully runs to do it. But if
Scully gets the sketch and recognizes that it's the guy she saw at the hotel that saves the kids from the fire.
Right, like, and that's how they learn. Yeah, and they, for a while, because they accidentally think he's the driver and not the caretaker. So, like, when they do still, like, figure out the name. But had they just didn't know what he looked like, he probably would have been able to just quietly slip out of there. And they wouldn't have ever caught him. So, yeah, it's really reckless of him to do that. And really lucky that he did that.
He gets he and Phoebe like blunder fuck their way through this. Like when they first go to interrogate this lady after the bar fire, like Phoebe's not hearing any of it. She's like, this doesn't have to do with anything. This is just some guy that set a bar on fire. It's like, we're tracking an arsonist. And like, she doesn't pay any attention until the lady finally says, oh yeah, he had a British accent. And it's like, oh yeah, okay. So it's probably the guy that's been murdering people in London.
Yeah, otherwise it's just another arsonist.
Completely unrelated arson, because there's so many arsons.
They fuck up so much, because while Scully's doing like the actual police work of like looking into
we'll get to some of that.
Yeah, well their detective work is to set a trap at the hotel. And that they
then don't monitor.
Yes, which is an insane idea. Because it's such a... I mean, we'll definitely get into this. It's such a Sherlock Holmes thing to do. Is to be like, we'll set a trap for the killer. And then we'll sit here and wait for them. And then they don't monitor it. They basically just go on a series of dates. While Scully is just quietly doing all the work.
Yeah. Before the date. Oh, no, wait, this is after the date. Okay, so they go to the hotel. It's like a big thing that the Lord and his family have to go to. Mulder sulks in like a completely different area of the hotel, like in an empty ballroom area of the hotel.
Yes.
Like, he's not in the party, so he's not even where he's supposed to be to look for the arsonist.
He's at a fifth grade dance. Like, he's just sulking in the hallway.
Like, I have that written down at some point. Like, he's wearing a tuxedo, and it's the first time we see Mulder in anything resembling this kind of formal wear, and he looks hilarious. He looks like a little boy wearing a tuxedo.
He really does.
Like, he looks like a little boy at like his dad's, like, I don't know, like something's like his parents' like 20th anniversary party or something. Like, he's so bored. He doesn't want to be there. He hates wearing these clothes. Like, he just wants to go home and read his comics. Like, it's like he's so pissed.
Bigfoot comics.
Yeah. He wants to go home and look at his Mars Attacks cards.
Yeah.
And then she comes in, and it's like the party's still going. And she comes in and makes a joke about, oh, you enjoying the party? Because he's like in the room by himself. And he's like, oh, I guess the arsonist isn't going to show. It's like, you've been staring at an empty ballroom.
Yeah. Like, how do you know? How do you know that they don't know the arsonist? Something that Scully is figuring out.
Yeah. And then they start dancing together. And then they dance at this empty ballroom, and that's when the arsonist strikes. Like, he starts
Meanwhile,
a fire.
The arsonist is upstairs starting a fire.
Yeah. Trying to burn the children to death.
Oh.
And I have this under World's Luckiest Detective because they're super lucky that his plan wasn't to murder the children there.
Yes.
He starts the fire and then so that he can heroically save them.
Yes. They don't suspect him at all either.
Nope. And when Scully because... comes to them and is like, look, I have all this information. It's a guy named Cecil Lively. It's a... She says, like, she was like, well, who's supposed to be watching the kids? And Phoebe's like, well, the driver was, the caretaker. And she's like, no, it can't be. I saw him downstairs in the ballroom, because she does.
Yeah, and they're like, you must be mistaken.
You must be mistaken. Anyway, the person we're looking for is British. Like, Phoebe can't fathom that the arsonist is faking an American accent.
Like, it's very bad detective work.
It is atrocious. And she rattles on about she's like, well, because they think the guy's name is Bob. They think Cecil's name is Bob, the caretaker of the house. And he's like, well, Scully said, well, tell me about this guy. And Phoebe says, well, I checked him out. Like, he has no record. I checked all of his references. They all checked out. And I was like, at no point in that investigative process did you run across a picture of Bob?
Right.
Like, do you have a photograph of what the guy looks like? Because it's super not that guy. He murdered the real Bob and buried him in the backyard.
Right.
Like, literally, the dog almost digs him up.
Yeah, the dog does better detective work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you didn't even bury him that deep. Like,
no.
It's under, like, an inch of dirt.
Yeah. You'd think there'd be some, like, a smell coming from there?
Yeah, yeah. It starts to bloat, his stomach pops, and the ground just kind of ruptures.
There's a reason we bury bodies, like, 6 feet down.
Right, and respect is not the only reason.
Yeah.
It's a very utilitarian purpose.
A couple things. One is that if you're investigating an arsonist that you think might be a psychic arsonist, just have some fire extinguishers ready. There's one point where they mention, like, does anybody have a fire extinguisher? And it's like, just have some.
Yeah,
just
maybe
get some.
Keep that in your holster instead of a gun.
Yeah, yeah. You know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. The second thing is just that the beginning, Phoebe introduces herself by putting a tape in their car.
By faking a bomb threat.
Faking a bomb threat.
Yeah.
It's really mean. Mulder doesn't recognize her voice at all, which I guess it's been a while.
Yeah.
But it's some bad detective work.
Mulder is a big dope in this. Like,
he's a big dope.
He's just, like, fluttering his eyelashes at Phoebe the entire time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, like they team up to be confidently wrong about everything. Like, every step of the episode, just an exasperated Scully has to solve it in the background.
Yeah.
There was one more thing I wanted to say. What the hell was it?
Sure.
It was something about this. Nah, I can't remember.
All right. Well, you know what that means.
Yeah, I do. I do know what that means, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, let's move on to Mulder After Dark. Yeah.
You can swim in that saxophone.
You really can. It's thick.
Mulder, the episode begins, I mean, after the cold open murder, the beginning of the episode proper, it begins with Mulder and Scully leaving court, with Mulder bragging about how little he goes to court because he never actually affects any arrests with his investigations.
It's a rare self-aware moment for Mulder, because he's just like, yeah, you know, that's the thing about hunting, like, ghosts and aliens, is there's... he says there's, like, very little convictions, or, like...
Few arrests. So it's like...
Yeah, and it's like,
literally commenting on how awful his record is.
Yeah, and it's like, it's almost as if on paper, you look terrible at your job.
Right.
And
it's almost as if...
the FBI.
Yeah, it's as if in an official capacity, I'm a complete joke of an investigator.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're a total drain on resources.
Yeah,
Mulder.
I might as well be a junior detective.
Yeah.
I might as well be a fifth grader with a plastic badge.
Yeah.
When they meet, yeah. This it goes right into Phoebe leaving the weird bomb threat, which, by the way, this doesn't have much to do with Mulder After Dark, but since we're talking about the scene where she leaves the fake bomb threat, I figured it's Phoebe was supposed to be a recurring character, but they introduce her in like the strangest, most unlikable way.
Yes. I don't know why they would ever think that she should be a reoccurring character.
Well, like, the idea of her could have been, like, you know, and having her, like, call Mulder for some, like, fun adventures in London every now and then. But, like, the way they introduced this character, I noticed watching this episode, it's like you immediately dislike her and you never come around to her.
Well, that's the thing. It's you immediately dislike her.
It's such a strange decision.
They don't make you like her ever. Either.
No, they never make her Mulder's heart.
And then she makes out with the father of
I forgot about that.
He makes out with the husband of the woman being attacked by the victim.
She's boning the Lord. She's boning Lord Marsden.
And she's just always kind of terrible. And so the idea that after this episode, we'd be like, yeah, let's get more Phoebe. Even Mulder at the end, she leaves him a tape and he throws it out.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to it. Like, she leaves him another recorded message. It's like they realize, oh man, what fucking troll
wrote this
episode?
I think she was supposed to be like his Irene Adler. Like, I think the idea is she would come back, but we wouldn't like her. We'd just be like, oh no, it's a Phoebe episode. Like,
well,
she'd be his Q. Like,
well, you like Q and you like Irene Adler.
That's true.
Like they're mischievous and they're kind, you know, you can't really trust them, but like you enjoy their characters and they're fun characters.
Right.
Like, Phoebe's just a drag.
Yes. And I kind of want to jump off of this Irene Adler thing and introduce a big part of this episode, cuz we get a big window into Mulder and his sex going-ons. So, Phoebe mentions, well, I'll start with the fact that she refers to the case as a three-pipe problem to...
Right, and do they ever explain that, or they just say it's a Sherlock Holmes reference?
It's a Sherlock Holmes inside joke. If you remember, it's where Sherlock Holmes is, I think he smokes, burns through three pipes, and Watson's like, you've smoked three pipes, and he's like, well, it's a three-pipe problem. The idea being that he's just sitting there. It's one that you have to sit and think about for a while.
The show could have given us that information.
Yes, she basically says, I thought my friend Mulder could use a three-pipe problem. And then he just says it's an inside joke. Later, then, when she's coming on to Mulder a little bit, she mentions, who can forget a little youthful indiscretion in our past, a steamy night on top of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave, meaning that it is 100% what she's saying is that they fucked on Conan Doyle's grave. They have 100%. Mulder has 100%, without a doubt in my mind, put on a deerstalker cap and had sex with Phoebe.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
It, at the very least, he 1,000% got a handy while he was wearing a deerstalker cap.
They have just played
sitting
out
on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave.
Yeah. They have, I'm going to say multiple times, did fucking Sherlock Holmes themed sex. They role played. I assume she was Watson. Because the three-pipe problem, if it's an inside joke, that's an exchange between Holmes and Watson, I believe. So it makes her the Watson, and if they were, like, solving crimes or something together, like, they...
Oh, they were, yeah, they were 100% dressed as Holmes and Watson. I'm just not sure that... maybe they took turns.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Also,
how do you dress as Watson?
You need the cane. Cane mustache, I think.
Does he have a cane?
Yeah, I think you could do a bowler cap, and that would...
He's got a cane. Like, he's a very non-specific looking character.
Well, he injured himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's in the war.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But yeah, yeah, they totally, and that's why it's so troubling when then he calls Scully Watson. Like, if I was Scully, and I guess she only knows about the three pipe thing, but if I knew about the sex thing and he called Scully Watson, I feel like Scully would be like, don't ever call me that, Mulder. That's really weird. Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole fucking thing. We know that we always, it also means that he probably finds like Sherlock Holmes porn, or at least British porn. I think the magazine that we talked about early on in episodes, he was watching, Hanky Panky magazine. That's what he was looking at.
Yeah.
That sounds very British. So I think he's got a British fetish, thanks to this ex. It's just a big piece of Mulder's sexuality is exposed here. A big piece of the puzzle. And of course it's Sherlock Holmes, because that's who Mulder wants to be.
He really wants to be Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Oh God. I bet they probably took turns who was Sherlock, but I bet Mulder wasn't as into it when he was Watson.
Right. He wasn't as happy being Watson.
No.
But he totally called his dick the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Of course he did. And she so she called her vagina the moor or something like that.
Yeah,
then?
The moors.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Oh. So after he plays the fake bomb threat, and Phoebe shows up and, hey, aren't I a cut up? She shows up and introduces herself,
right.
And then she gives him a kiss like right on the corner of his mouth.
And he just takes it.
It's like a long kiss, but he just kind of is standing there motionlessly. I don't think so. This, coupled with what we learned earlier in the ghost episode, Ghost of the Machine, with his relationship with Agent Jerry LaManna, I think Mulder doesn't really know how to deal with people or how to like engage in a relationship, like either a romantic relationship or just a friendship.
Yes.
So I think, like how with like Jerry LaManna, we figured Jerry probably just told Mulder they were friends and he was like, all right.
Yeah, he's very submissive outside of work when it comes to relationships. Yes.
So I suspect, like, just based on this interaction and the way he kind of is with her throughout the rest of the episode, I think Phoebe just kind of told him they were dating and he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, he just sort of gets dragged along by the wind. Like,
yes. Oh, 100%. I feel like it's just whoever is most dominant and close to him is the person who can tell him what to do socially. Like, that's it. He just gets dragged around. Like, I feel like anybody could be in a relationship with Mulder by walking up to who he's currently with and fighting them. Mm-hmm. And then Mulder will just go with whoever is the winner. Like, he just socially, he gravitates towards just whoever is the most dominant. That's it.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably true.
Oh man. Another big piece of this episode I thought was, we haven't even really gotten to Mulder, and this could have been in World's Luckiest Detective, but Mulder immediately suggesting that the arsonist has psychic powers, that he's a psychic arson.
Yeah.
That's insane. Because...
Well, she does say that, Phoebe does say that they haven't found any fuel, they haven't found anything, they can't figure out how the fire started.
Right, but what's insane is that, all right, she says that to Mulder, and he's like, oh, maybe mm-hmm. it's like psychic arson, or pyrokinetics, I think he calls it, and then they go to an arson specialist, and he's just sort of like, yeah, there's accelerants that can burn without a trace, like rocket fuel and stuff, and then Mulder is just like, well, what are your thoughts about pyrokinetics? And like, he's just not listening to the guy. Like, the guy is saying, like, yeah, it's possible. I mean, there's tons of arson cases out there.
Yeah.
And Mulder's just like, no, fire psychic. What's most insane to me about that is he just keeps casually suggesting it, based completely on just that they don't know how the fire started.
Yeah, it's weird. He suggests it in this sequence and then never brings it up again.
That's where it gets weird, is then it never becomes a thing. Like, he's never excited about it. When Mulder finds out after I think it's, okay, this might be part because he's scared of fire, that he's just bummed about the case, so he just doesn't care. But the weirdest part is then when he tries to save the kids the first time and he passes out in the hallway.
He passes out weeping in the hallway.
Oh, so sad.
Trembling and weeping, crawling in the opposite direction of the children.
Yeah, it was a good moment for the character, like, because that's the arc we're showing, but boy, Mulder. Boy. After that, he's like in bed and Scully's like exasperated and taking care of him, and he finds out that Phoebe is leaving and that the family is just fucking going back home. And he's just like, oh, okay. And like, he's just sort of there moping. And it's like, so you're not at all excited about the prospect of a psychic arson, huh, Mulder? Like, he doesn't fight it at all. He's just like, oh, okay, I guess I won't solve this case about a psychic arson.
Guess we can
arson.
Never know the mysteries behind this.
Yeah, like, he doesn't care. It's like, it's just something he threw out there because that's where his mind is. But he hasn't investigated it at all. He's so hung up on the X. It's like he's going through the motions of an investigation, but is more thinking about his ex. But by going through the motions, part of that motion is just claiming something insane. Yeah. And that, like, he doesn't actually care. It's very weird. And especially since at the end, he, again, at no point does he really bring it up.
No, it never come. It is never mentioned again.
No.
They spend the episode investigating the accelerant.
Yeah, only...
And how he's getting the accelerant on things. Like, it's sort of like at that point, they kind of... They're not really worried about how exactly he's igniting it. They just want to know what he's doing to start the fires. And then Scully figures out that, oh, he's slowly putting jet fuel into, like, hand cream and deodorant. And he's like fucking the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman.
There's no, Mulder, you're crazy. And he's just like, no, this is how he's doing it.
They just don't address it.
They don't talk about it.
Yeah, they stop even thinking about how he's igniting these things. Just like, oh, well... He just is.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. We don't need to worry about that.
Until the very end when they show him in the jail and they're like, several fires have started around him and we can't explain it. And it's like, oh, okay. I guess we're not going to think about that very much.
Well, they also low-key slide in at the end that he's fucking Deadpool. His body was covered in fifth and sixth degree burns, but like, his basal cells are regenerating. He'll be fully recovered in a couple of weeks. They're like, this is incredible. Scully's reading it as like addendum to Agent Mulder's file. It's like, no. This is its own file.
Right.
It's the part about how this man can regenerate his body.
And they're not curious about it. They're just like, anyway, he's in jail now. Like, clearly, this is another, there was a previous episode where we talked about the fact that Mulder almost like it's the space episode where he like engages in a cover-up, the very cover-ups that he wants to prevent. This is another case where they're just like, this guy's DNA can probably open all sorts of medical possibilities. Anyway, we put him in jail and we're not going to think about him anymore.
Right,
like, government probably quietly swooped him up. He's an X-Man.
Honestly, I hope so. Because Scully's report, it just says they were trying to figure out how he can, when he's going to be in good enough condition to stand trial for murder. It's like, what about the fact that he's a fucking miracle? We should probably look into that.
We're fucking 12 episodes in, and they seem already bored with the monster of the week, where they're like, anyway, Mulder had a lot of relationship issues in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there was also a monster, and he's amazing, but it doesn't matter. Like,
there's a couple of little details I like. When Phoebe comes into his office the first time, it's right when they're about to take her down to talk to the arson specialist. Mulder has a giant poster of an astronaut behind his desk.
Of course he does.
Like, amidst all of, like, the UFO photos and, like, you know, normally his walls are adorned with autopsy photos.
Yes.
So like amidst all like his creepy alien photos and case files and shit, there's just a very normal astronaut photograph that it's one that we've all seen. I think I don't know what moonwalk it's part of, but it's like, it's on like the covers of several science books,
right?
Like science textbooks for elementary school. It's just this giant fifth grader's poster behind his desk of an astronaut.
Yeah.
So Mulder
it's probably
astronauts.
A fold out in a magazine that he got.
Yeah, it came from Highlights magazine.
Right, yeah.
Discover Kids.
Yeah, that's such a Mulder thing. This continues. That's one of the few, like, this is something that they introduce in their first season, and it sort of drops off later, but they do keep mm-hmm. coming back to it, which is that Mulder clearly wanted to be an astronaut.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's holding on to that a little bit. So spoilers. Spoilers for, like, season 7 or 8. He does finally get his wish to go into space. Just not quite the way he wanted. Let's see if I have any. Oh, yeah, I have one more thing, which is just watching Mulder try to put out a giant fire by slapping it with a towel is what made me realize, like, yeah, fire extinguishers, guys. He's an arsonist. Like, he's just, yeah. Did he really think that was going to help? Just slapping with that little towel. Mulder.
When the whole room is on fire at that point.
Yeah, no, the whole, yeah. But that's all I have for Mulder After Dark. Do you have anything else?
I had a couple more notes. When he first gets to his hotel in Boston, he checks to see how bouncy his bed is.
Of course he does. He also 100% thinks he's gonna get fucked that night. Scully calls and he's like, I have my hands full at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sort of like, he's just really excited about getting laid. But again, he has no game. He doesn't know how to do anything. So he just stands in the hallway and like waits for Phoebe to make any kind of move.
Yeah. Again, he just waits for things to happen to him.
He really does.
He can't navigate people. Like he doesn't have that ability. The only other note I have is in the hospital after they question the woman who witnessed Cecil burn the bar down. He says, I'm cursed with a photographic memory. This is literally true. He is cursed by his inability to forget things.
Yes, we've seen this a few times where he'll just have X-Files from like the 70s. He'll find like, there's been 3 cases of victims found in the woods with bumps on their neck. And it's like, how do you know that, Mulder? The
fuck do you know that?
What is going on in that brain?
Yeah, it's his inability to forget things and his inability to let things go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is literally cursed by his photographic memory.
Oh, Mulder.
Like, that's a real monkey's paw curse he's got.
Yeah. He's cursed with a lot of things.
That's true. Yeah. I think that's all I had for Mulder After Dark. This is a pretty good examination of the chaos that is Mulder's life when he's not chasing aliens.
Yeah, it's a big window into his personal life. There's a few episodes like this where you're just like, you get a fucking, it's weird because we don't see his apartment, we don't really see how he lives or anything, we're just seeing just his past. It's like like the one with his old partner where it's just like, it's just big revelation. As Scully says in the episode, Mulder, you just keep unfolding like a flower.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. I mean, I guess he didn't at the time because they tell us that he wasn't really interested in anything like the paranormal until he discovered the X-Files. It's funny to think, like, it feels like they kind of retcon that later. It's not entirely clear. But the idea that Mulder, who just believes in ghosts the same way that you and I believe that, we can go get a soda from 7-Eleven or something.
Right.
Like, he believes in ghosts that powerfully and that casually. Like, it's just a no-brainer for him. Yet he fucked somebody in a cemetery on top of somebody's grave.
You're right. Like, that is, why would you do that? You're just asking for it, Mulder.
That's when he got his that's when he got cursed with his photographic memory. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was like, I curse you.
You are now Sherlock.
You're now lame Sherlock.
Wow, that is amazing. That's you just remind me of another thing, which is and I think I mentioned in previous episodes regarding his sunflower seeds, the term three-pipe problem is about smoking. So it implies that the inside joke is surrounding smoking, which is more evidence that Mulder is an ex-smoker, which is not a big detail, but the compulsiveness of the sunflower seeds and then the three-pipe problem, which implies that Mulder at one point had like a three-cigarette problem, where he would like sit and chain smoke. Put that with the theory that Mulder's divorced. I'm pretty sure Mulder's an ex-smoker.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to fireable offenses?
We should.
Okay. It really seems like the family that they're protecting should be more angry with them.
They should file a lot of complaints, definitely over what happens at the hotel.
Yeah.
And the very sudden and honestly baffling revelation at the end that Phoebe's been boning the Lord.
Yes.
Been boning the husband.
She should be in trouble for that.
Kind of explains why they haven't really gotten in more trouble.
Right, yeah.
But like, what a bizarre revelation that they don't really do anything with.
No, they don't. They're just trying to show, because the premise is that Mulder broke up with Phoebe because she cheated on him. And then they think they're rekindling it again, and he walks in on her kissing someone. So it's like, oh, she hasn't changed.
I wonder if like partway through film, because like the ending is so strangely cruel towards Phoebe.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just realized partway through filming, like, this character isn't working. Like, we didn't write her correctly. Like, the chemistry is weird. Like, this, we're never going to bring her back.
Yeah.
So they throw in that weird kiss. Like, all it is a brief kiss on the stairs. Like, there's no other reference to it in the episode.
Yeah, I also think the reason it's the Lord is because he's, like, literally the only other dude besides the bad guy.
Besides the bad guy.
So they're just like, who can we have her kiss? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Lord.
The freaking Lord. And then, like, when Mulder gets her tape, he just, like, throws it away.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're never having her back again.
Yeah, it really, the symbolism of that, like, here's another one of her patented fucking tapes. Go feed you her tapes, and Mulder's just like, dunk in the trash.
So fuck, she just leaves these cryptic tapes like a Ray Bradbury character? Yeah. that's just like a thing she does?
She seems exhausting.
She really does.
In fairness, so does Mulder. But
Mulder's exhausting. Yes. Yeah.
It's possible.
It's like they're two totally exhausting people.
It's possible that she learned that she has to leave little mysteries around in order to keep Mulder's interest.
Yeah,
it's possible.
For sure.
It's possible that Mulder was so emotionally distant that she met another guy and she broke up with Mulder and he just didn't hear her and then saw her with the guy and thought she cheated. It's possible that all that happened.
I can picture a scenario where she just has to create, like, because he's such an alien, she just has to, like, create little escape rooms. Like, she has to create escape rooms for him to, like, understand things. Like,
she
has to set up an elaborate puzzle for him to solve in order to get him to come to dinner on time.
He 100% had to follow a series of tapes to get to that grave where they fucked.
Where they definitely boned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Sherlock cosplay.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
Yeah. But anyways, they totally get written up for just dancing like a couple of prom dates.
Yeah.
Well, they're supposed to be on, like, maximum alert looking for this serial arsonist.
Who was just the caretaker of the house.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. He was just around them the whole time.
Who got passed a background check by just giving another name.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like,
he said
family,
he was this dude. Yeah. Like,
if I was that family, I'd be so angry.
he just like talented Mr. Ripley'd his way in there, where he just sort of doesn't look anything like the guy he killed. He just killed him and started telling people he was the guy. Yeah. And it worked.
If I was that wife, I'd be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You're fucking my husband. Like, you're apparently afraid of fire. Why are you investigating an arsonist?
Why are you investigating an arsonist? Sounds like you're not going to be helpful at all.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess it's all technically not fireable, but there'd be complaints filed.
Yes. They get some demerits or whatever the FBI's equivalent to that is. I don't know. Having to go talk to some classroom about stranger danger. Can you imagine Mulder talking to a bunch of third graders?
Ooh. I mean, we see him interact with children, and that actually seems like the most comfortable he is.
Right, it's the most comfortable he is. I'm talking about in that context, like that scene from that one episode of Mindhunter where he has to like tell the class about stranger danger. Just replace that guy with Mulder.
Yeah, it would be a classroom of kids being like, I'm pretty sure he's the stranger he's warning us about.
I'm pretty sure we shouldn't get into his car. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah,
children, that's a very good idea because you don't know me either. I'm a stranger.
That's a big part of the character of Mulder, is that you can't really imagine him doing much of anything other than investigating paranormal events. Like,
right.
Him at a wedding, him, like, I don't know, bowling, like, just any daily
him at a
activity.
Go-kart track, just any kind of, like, him playing putt-putt.
Yeah.
Just anything normal.
Yeah, and the only thing he likes to do is play basketball. That's the only thing Mulder will do. And in early ones, he'll jog. And swim once. He swims once. That's pretty much it. Just hamster activities.
Right, just things to keep his metabolism going.
Yeah.
All of his activity is very clinical.
Yeah. Is this where I was going to ask? Is this where we move on to name the enabler?
Namabler, yes.
Enabler.
We the name the enabler.
Still a little high. Okay.
It's Phoebe. Clearly, it's Phoebe.
Yeah, she's the enabler. Yeah. I mean, she brings it to Mulder. Clearly, fucking with him.
Just to fuck with him because she knows he's afraid of fire.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
So she's just. Yeah, playing all sorts of mind games. She is like, that's her character, is the enabler. Like, before they came up with a character name, they probably just wrote the enabler in the script.
Yeah. So this lady comes and she's a total enabler.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't really have much else to say about that. It's just
it's totally Phoebe. Yeah.
So I guess that brings us to the final part, which is crazy like a fox. That's where we put a numerical value on how crazy Mulder is in this episode.
Yes.
Tom, I put a number. Sorry.
Well, with the scales from 1 to 10.
Right. 10 being just absolute
total
insanity.
Total lip wiggling craziness, and a 1 being like fine.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
I put a higher number than you did, and you can explain why, because I think you have a good argument.
Okay. Well, I feel like this episode is pretty low in terms of craziness that he actually participates in the episode. Like, the craziest thing about Mulder in this episode is the stuff we learned about him from, like, 10 years ago.
Right.
So it's like the craziest stuff is the stuff about his past, like boning on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave. And
right. He's not actually that crazy within the episode.
Right. The stuff he actually does in this episode is just, he's just behaving like the thirstiest dude in the world.
Yes.
So he's making a lot of boneheaded mistakes just because he's like, he thinks he might be getting laid.
Yeah.
On this trip.
I would say, yeah, the craziest thing is the pyrokinetics jumping right to it. Other than that.
But he abandons it, though. Like, he never brings it up again.
Which I think is also kind of crazy. But it is, you're right, it's not as crazy as breaking into a military base.
It's almost like a reflex.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
It's like he can't stop himself. Like, anytime he hears something that there's a paranormal explanation for it. It's like he can't stop from just barking it out.
Yeah, that's what...
Like, pyrokinetics. Anyway.
It really feels that way. Like, it's like, yeah. It's like a comedian going on like a podcast with like an ex and still making jokes, but sort of just like going through the motions because they're too hung up on the ex. Like, it's that idea where it's just, it's a weird analogy.
Very specific example.
Well, it's because we're podcasting right now.
Very specific analogy.
It is, because I was thinking of just comedians telling jokes, and then I was like, I'll you know what, Tom, I'll take you through the process.
You're right. Yeah,
and then I was like, well, but a comedian doesn't do stand up with like an ex next to him. Well, maybe in the audience.
I guess sometimes they do.
Yeah, that's true. But I meant like side by side. Like, you don't do stand up comedy with someone else normally. That's weird. I think that's weird.
Not usually.
Not usually.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. So then I was thinking, like, what else does comedians do? And then I was like, well, comedians does podcast. Podcasts. And I was like, all right, well, like, if you're doing a podcast with an ex, yeah, and you're sure, still going through the motions of doing jokes. So that was my I'm sort of high process that came up with that analogy. But you get me.
Sure.
You get me.
I understand you. So I actually said 2.
Yeah,
I gave him a 2.
I gave him a 4 or 5, and I'm going to bring it down to a 2 because of, you're right, is we're judging this by how crazy they're acting within the episode, not like just more evidence of insanity.
The crazy revelations about his past.
Yeah.
Like, were it implied that he was boning in a graveyard in this episode, I would be like, this is an 11.
Yeah, if we see him like got someone bent over a gravestone,
right,
and he's
right,
just going
if he's,
to town,
yeah,
yeah,
he's throwing one in there,
yeah,
in a mausoleum,
yeah, just the sound slapping marble,
dusty old like eyeless sockets, just watching them from the corners of this crypt.
Yep.
Just as he's just jackhammering away in his deerstalker hat.
Yep. Oh, what a thought. What an image.
That needs to be a prequel. They need to make young Fox Mulder exactly like
the young Fox Mulder
Chris Columbus's
Chronicles.
Young Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the young Fox Mulder Chronicles. And just have him bone Phoebe in a cemetery and let us see it.
Yeah, make us see it.
And a lot of spooky mist blowing around.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the spooky mist. Some howling.
Some wolves
in the
howling. Yeah. Once in a while, an owl hoots. Just.
Oh, that's amazing. I can picture it so clearly.
Trying to keep from dropping the magnifying glass.
Because you got to have it. You got to have that magnifying glass.
You
got to
have the magnifying glass.
Oh, no.
It completes the outfit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So yeah, I guess a 2.
Yeah, let's go with a 2. Final answer.
He's more just a horny idiot in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's thirsty
dummy.
Like a fox.
It's a little dummy.
Little Dumbo. Yep. Little Dumbo.
Yeah, little Dumbo. All right.
So yeah, that's a sode.
That is a sode. If you're new and you like what you heard, you should subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Along with this exclusive podcast, we have another one called Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, which is like this, but Batman.
It's me and comedian Jeff May watching all of the Batman, every Batman.
Yep, every
animated series, all the movies, all the animated movies, the 60s show, it's like literally everything Batman has been in, we're going to watch it, mm-hmm. and we're going to tell you about it.
Yep.
That's the premise of the show.
Yeah, fucking do that.
Yeah, do it. We also got other stuff, like we do movie nights with our patrons. There's cool stuff. There's cool stuff you get to.
Yeah,
you get to be a part of it.
We stream on Twitch. We have t-shirts, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. You can get a t-shirt related to this very show you're listening to.
A new one soon, right?
Yeah, hopefully. We got a new one that we're coming, and I guess a second one of Mulder in a deerstalker cap having sex on a grave.
Def. need Mulder on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's grave.
It'll be really graphic. Like, it's going to be... Yeah.
Power of, like, veins.
Oh, veins.
It's going to be veins.
All the veins. More veins than you think are possible. Like, right. too
More
many
veins that are in a human body. It's gonna look like a pink spider web.
Yeah, it's gonna look like it's draining the life force from the rest of him. Oh, gross. It's so gross. Artwork for Fox Mulder's A Maniac is produced by Starlene Hodge. Follow her on Twitter at StarleneX, that's Starlene with an X, or check out her delightful webcomic at rubywhipple.com.